Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 6. Acts chapter 17, verse 6. Hallelujah. Hey, good to see the cherry sitting right dead center, not serving today. Come on, let's honor them and appreciate them. Thank you for serving. They serve so much. Please stand, stand. Let people see. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's read Acts 17:6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But when they did not... Here we go. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. One more time. These who have turned the world upside down have... One last time. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. This was Paul and Silas, and these young disciples of Christ had gone from city to city praying, preaching the gospel. And there was a reputation that everywhere where they went, people were being healed, people were getting saved, and that they were turning cities upside down. And they had come into a new city here, and a guy called Jason was hosting them in his house. And the people and the rulers of that city went to Jason's house and dragged him and said, "We have heard that those two guys who have turned the world upside down have come into our city." Impact, I want to just start by saying we're not here to play church. Make no mistake, we're here to turn the world upside down. Somebody shout amen. Let me say this again. This is the only time I'll stand. We have come to turn the world upside down. Somebody give me a good amen up there. Hallelujah. Make no mistake, we're not here to sing some kumbaya songs and just eat some crab cakes. Thank God for the cakes and all that, but we're here for business, somebody. Hallelujah. We're here to turn the world upside down with the love of Jesus. Behave yourself, African dude. Come on. Right. We're here to turn the world upside down because Jesus saves. Jesus changes people. You can have any governmental program, any psychological program, rehabs and everything that you have, and we should have many of them. But there's nothing that will correct a soul and heal a heart better than Jesus. Hallelujah. You want a 3-step program, you want a 10-step program, come to Jesus. This is the 1-step program that will heal you and fix you from the inside out. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, help me here. Hallelujah. Amen. Impact, we're here to love people. And we are beginning here in Medford. We're beginning here in the greater Boston area. But make no mistake, we want to go into New England, all of America. And this is a vision to reach the entire world. Somebody shout amen. We're not going to insult God with small thinking. We're not going to limit God. We're going to allow God to do everything that he has through us. Amen. Let's also read Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. If you have it, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received the word. When Michelle and I got married 11 years ago, we were a very untidy couple. Anybody can relate to that? If you came to our house, you'd find clothes all over the floor. You'd find clothes in the living room. Oh, thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Bless this preacher in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen, you'd find clothes all over our house. I'm talking in the living room. I mean, you'd find underclothes in the hallway. Come on, don't leave me hanging. Anybody here? Young couples out there? I mean, you'd find chicken wing bones of chicken we had eaten a month ago in the living room somewhere. I mean, you'd find all kinds of stuff in the house. Come on, don't judge me. Some of you living in that right now. Hallelujah. How about I tell you that we secretly took pictures of your living rooms this morning? We're going to show them on this screen right now. and the bedrooms too. Well, that's a joke. But that was the kind of house that we lived in. My wife was into, just keeping these new recycling. And so we had piles and piles of newspapers in the hallway, newspapers everywhere. I used to say, "Hon, don't you just trash this stuff?" "No, this is recycling, honey." She'd get upset with me. But that's the kind of house we had. And we'd always have three kinds of visitors, three kinds of people that came to our house. Somebody say three. One more time, say three. The first group of people were visitors. And this is the only time that we would clean, was if visitors were coming. I'm talking, we'd pick up all the piles of clothes, stuff them in the closet, literally stuff them in there, pick up the chicken wings from the floor for the first time, and then we'll pick up the piles of newspapers and stack them on our bed. Put stuff in our bedroom. I mean, our bedroom looked like a bomb had exploded. Would literally stuff the stuff in the closet. I know, I remember one time there was a visitor who came to our home. She was going to give us some marriage counseling and things like that. And that day, we literally just shoved the clothes in there. And she took her coat off, and she was heading towards the closet. And we were like, no. Oh, no. Both Misha and I jumped up. You would have thought we were going to attack her. I mean, we're scared. We jumped up. We're like, no. You're a special guest. Your jacket goes right here on the dining chair, right here, where you can see it. Right here where you can see it. I mean, if that lady would have opened that closet, I mean, an earthquake would have showed up. I'm talking all hell would have broken loose. I mean, seriously, the only time we cleaned was if visitors were coming. The second group of people who would come to our house were friends. Somebody say friends. Friends would come over. Now, when the friends would come over, we would pick up the underclothes from the floor, but the rest of the clothes would stay on the ground because they're friends, right? David is one of my friends. He's known me for the longest time. Now, David is a clean brother. That brother, clean. I mean, you go in his car right now, that brother, clean. That brother, squeaky clean. He'd show up at our house. David would show up at our house, and he would go to the kitchen, and he would just pick up the trash. Something's stinking in this room. He'd pick up the trash and just throw it away. You'd think he was a person we had hired to clean. He would come and just grab something. He's a clean brother, so he cleans up his area before he sits down. I mean, he would clean for himself a little bit, but he was a friend. So he was exposed to certain weaknesses, but he was a friend. But because he was a friend, he wasn't responsible for our house, but he was a friend. Another group of people we had come to our house were family. Somebody say family. One more time, family. Now, the family were exposed to everything else. They saw the chicken wings on the floor. They saw the clothes. They saw the underclothes. I mean, they even saw Michelle and I argue. Michelle and I would never argue in front of our friends. David has never seen my wife and I argue. We never argued in front of our friends, but family saw us, saw certain areas of our lives that visitors and not friends were not exposed to. I want you to know that there are three groups of people who come to your home. Number one, visitors. Number two, friends. Number three, family. Let's say that together. Visitors. One more time. There are three groups of people that come into this church. Who are they? I read a scripture for you, Acts chapter 2. I've preached from this scripture before, but the word of God is prophetic. When you see the early church, this was the original church. This was the early church. This was the first time where the church was founded, and they had three groups of people. Let's read that again, Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. It says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." Now, those were visitors. They were visitors who had come into Jerusalem. They spoke different languages. They came from other nations, other cities. And Peter was preaching to them. The Bible says he testified and exhorted them. To testify was to preach Jesus. And to exhort was to encourage them, was to tell them about hope, because they were visitors. they deserved to be served. Hallelujah. The second group of people that were there were friends. Check this out, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, they were simply added to them. They didn't make any commitments yet. They were just friends. And this is what family did. They continued steadfastly. Somebody say steadfastly. This word simply means they were committed. They were committed to the vision. They were there, whether they had a great day or a bad day, they were committed. This was family. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They were given and they were committed to the vision. The other thing is in fellowship. They continued in fellowship. They met friends. They built the unity of the house. They took responsibility to make sure there was unity in the community. And then they broke bread, breaking of bread. This is what they did. They would have these parties and people would bring bread. In other words, they were contributors. They became givers. Somebody say givers. They were givers. Have you ever seen that kid who always shows up at your barbecue without anything? Now, if you're a visitor, it's okay for you to show up without anything. We don't expect you to do that. If you're a friend, you might expect them to bring a few things, but they're not obligated to do so. But listen, I got a kid brother. This dude shows up at every barbecue empty-handed, nothing. Like, dude, can you bring a ginger ale or something? I mean, pick up a thing of ginger ale. And if he brings steak, I mean, it's some steak he picked up somewhere in the back of Whole Foods. Like, dude, you're trying to kill us. But if you're family, you contribute. That's what they did. They broke bread. They had these gatherings. And those that were family, they took the responsibility to give to make sure that there was bread in that community, in that house. Amen. And then they prayed. Those that were committed, those that were family, they prayed for that community. They prayed for the babies. They prayed for the mothers. They prayed for the fathers. They prayed for the sisters. They prayed for the leaders. They prayed for many people to be saved. Impact Church, I want you to know that in this church right now, there's three groups of people. Somebody shout three. The first group is visitors. Yet again, Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. There are people who come into this house, and I want you to know that our visitors come because they're looking for Jesus and they're looking for a healthy church. Many people have been hurt, bruised, broken, and there are people who are looking for Jesus. Impact Church, I want you to know that at the center of our vision is to impact you so you can impact your world. We want to impact people with the love of Jesus. We believe that Jesus is the answer to all of humanity's problems. Hallelujah. Somebody say a good amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the visitors that come into Impact Church are only exposed to the good parts of our church. And rightfully so, right? We have people that come here early. They come at 8 o'clock, some 9 o'clock, something. But visitors, our guests, our special guests come here at 11 o'clock. By the time you come here, we've shoved all the stuff, all the boxes in the back. There's piles of boxes back there, some out there. Today I get to tell you some of the things that we do here. But we put that stuff away because we want to serve you. But we're able to do that because there's family here that take care of this house. Amen, somebody. Visitors are not responsible for the well-being of this house. The visitors that come to your home are not responsible for the well-being of your house. They can come and go as they please. Visitors are not expected to contribute. They are givers. They are takers. They are receivers. They're not expected. That's why when we take offering today, I said, visitors and guests, you're not compelled to take part in this offering. We're not after your money. This house is taken care of by family, those that are committed here. Amen. Somebody say amen. Impact, we are committed to preaching the gospel to our visitors. We're committed to stirring up an atmosphere in this house where people who are far away from God can come into this place and find Jesus. The way I preach is different from the way I was raised. Now, Impact Church, as we continue here, I'm going to share some more things, but there are days that are coming where we're going to host crusades and miracle nights and worship nights and all kinds of stuff. And it's going to be a very different kind of service. You're going to see a very different kind of your pastor that you haven't seen yet. We're going to do that in the context of that. I went to preach recently, and this young preacher came with me. And he said, "Pastor, I just want to ask you a question. You were kind of different tonight. I saw a different side of you than, well, because that's my evangelistic ministry. I was a healing evangelist before I pastored a church. But how many people know you can't pastor a church like a healing evangelist? People don't want to go to a crusade every Sunday. People don't want you screaming at them every Sunday. Hallelujah. Because church is a family. So we serve the people who come into this house. Somebody say amen. The way we preach, we make sure that the word of God is relevant and practical and biblical so that you can invite your unsaved boss, somebody who's never been to church before, your auntie who's an agnostic, your uncle who's an atheist, somebody who doesn't know anything about Jesus. They can hear real language and they can understand and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen. If I speak words like we're going to wash you in the blood of Jesus today. I'll make sure I explain that. When I speak, I don't assume that everybody knows who Noah is. Amen, somebody. Because we are expecting people who don't know Jesus. Impact, I want you to do the same. Because we are not here to play church. We're here to see people being saved. We work so hard. These families work so hard. At the end of the day, we want to leave this place knowing this one thing, that lives are being saved. Impact, you can trust us. You can invite people who've been hurt. Now the church is bruised growing up, bruised by parents who forced them into church and they've been hurt. This is the place you can invite them because there's room at the cross of Jesus for all. Let them come here. Let them come in all kinds of stuff, from all kinds of walks of life, all kinds of hairstyles. Let them come to Impact Church. Somebody say amen. I don't care where they've been. Let them come here. We're not going to make them take their hats off. We're not going to hassle. Let them come into the house of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen, Impact. Can we be committed to this thing, Impact? Hallelujah. That's why here at Impact Church, there's a welcoming atmosphere. And everybody who comes through our classes, we train them to welcome people. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I want to take a moment here and just appreciate all the ministries of this church. I'm going to stand. Come on, let's appreciate Brother Jerry, Brother Leo, Eagle, Brother Seth, Brother David Ramos. Come on, the Cruises right here, Jeremy and Melissa. Hey, we got ladies out there too. Amen. Hallelujah. We've put the best out there because we want to welcome people into this house. Somebody say amen. Help me celebrate Janelle and Sister Kathia and all the people that welcome you out there in the lobby and all that they do. Amen. Help me celebrate Luana and Martin and all our hospitality ministries. Amen. How many people know if you have a name like Luana, it means you're going to have something good to give somebody. Luana, that's like, it's the name of some Brazilian bread, by the way. Luana. You want to eat some Luana? It's a joke. How many people know if you have a name like Martin, right? A name like a beverage, you know something about hospitality. Amen. We got Martin working in the hospitality, but we're not serving Martin today. Not today. But listen, I mean, these guys are making individual pumpkin pies for Thanksgiving. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Why? Why all this? So that somebody's heart would be open to the gospel. People have a negative reputation about the church. Why all this? For the gospel. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate our Nigerian warrior, prayer warrior, Brother Femi, and Brother Anthony and Maggie, and the prayer team there, Brother Seth in the building. Seth, run up here. You're a young man, so you can run. Come on. This brother here is from Ghana, man. He would choke the devil any day, any time. He's back there praying for you guys. Amen. Hallelujah. You should find us back there in the morning. We are praying for you. We are praying for your family. They come up here early and they pray. Because some people will never find Christ until scales are removed from their eyes. That's what we're doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Please help me welcome, appreciate, and celebrate this worship team that serves here. Come on. Brother Juan, come on up here, Juan. Come on up here, Juan. Gracias. Gracias, papi. Gracias. Thank you. Bless you. Hallelujah. A su nombre. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Juan, Andrea, come on, run up here. Come on, come on. Come on, you're young, dude. Come on. Let's celebrate. He's our second music director here. They do an incredible job. By the way, these guys are qualified for what they do. Hallelujah. Juan's got a degree in music, and Andrea, you know, you went to Berklee College. I mean, these guys are qualified. Each one of them. Jen went to, where's Jen? Jen, I didn't see Jen. She's somewhere in the bill. These guys are qualified. Crystal. Somebody shout Crystal. Come on, celebrate Crystal. Come on up, Chris. Come on. Come on up, Crystal. Timmy, come on, come on. Tyler, come on, come on, Tyler. Come on, Tyler, run up. Run up, Jesus. Tyler looking all like Jesus up in this place. Timmy, look at these awesome looking people. Guys, they work so hard and they set up an atmosphere for worship. Chris in the building sitting right there. Hallelujah. Chris and Tim help us with our branding and all that creativity stuff. They do an incredible job. They put in hours upon hours of work so you can encounter Jesus. Somebody shout amen. You guys can go. You guys can go. Let's celebrate them. Come on, let's celebrate LJ and Neri and Kenny and all the people who do the sound there. Come on, Kenny and Neri, today the people are going to see you. Kenny and Neri, run up here today. You guys never get to see these people. Come on, let's celebrate them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Kenny, I said run up here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. These guys serve behind the scenes. You've got to see them today. Come on. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Love you guys. Love you, sir. Listen, let me tell you something. These two are some of the best sound engineers in this area, seriously. And God has blessed us with them. The sound you experience in this house is world class. Come on, somebody shout and celebrate them. Hallelujah. Look at this brother looking like a mad scientist. Amen. Don't get this brother upset. He'll blow you up. Hallelujah. Okay, you guys can go. Come on. Hallelujah. Why all this? To set up an atmosphere where somebody can encounter Jesus. Hallelujah. And then I also want to honor Lexi and Detaria and Nate and Michelle and those who serve. Come on, ladies, stand. Those who serve in this building. Welcome people and sit people. Hallelujah. Brother Gary and his wife Charmaine. Hallelujah. And everybody who serves. Last but not least, help me celebrate my wife and Paul and Jessica and all those who serve the kids back there. Amen. Listen, we're not a babysitting agency. We're not just babysitting your kids. They're putting the values of Christ in your kids back there. They read scripture over your kids. Kids are getting saved. You're the person you are today because of biblical values. And so we're committed to that. Listen, my wife is there herself because I wanted somebody that I could watch over to watch over your kids. And she's an excellent mother. She's committed to this, spends hours upon hours preparing. We spent thousands upon thousands of dollars for her to be trained. She was trained by Joel Austin's mom, Dottie Austin. We went to Lakewood. She was also trained by Gateway Church. It's a church of over 40,000 people. We are committed to your children finding salvation in Jesus' name. And we want you to be able to come in here and just take time and sit down without interruption while your kids are being blessed. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Come on, if we're going to clap, let's do it well. Hallelujah. And these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Make no mistake, we'll turn the world upside down for Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sit down, brother. Hallelujah. Now, the second group that comes here are friends. Somebody say friends. Friends. Now, friends are people who come to our church. They're not really committed members yet. Maybe you attended a small group. Maybe you've come to one of our marriage nights. You love what's going on. The Bible says, Acts chapter 2:41, Those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. You've been added to us. You've been coming faithfully. But maybe you're not committed yet because you're just a friend. You might help out here and there, but you're not committed. You're not a major contributor, but you help. And we celebrate you. And for those of you that are visitors, would like for you to become friends, would like for you to get to the next level. Pastor, how do I do that? Well, attend a small group. This is how you make friends here. Come and check out one of our small groups. We have incredible small groups, and I want to honor our small group leaders in this place. Somebody shout, Donut Durant. Amen. That's my man right there, Stan. Big D. Come on, Stan. He leads our husband's group. Come on. If you know any husband, send him to that group. I'm a part of that group. I'm telling you, there's a revolution that's happening among the men. Amen. Please stand up. Peggy, his wife Peggy, oversees a group with young girls, all the young teenage girls. Please, this mother has got a heart for your young kids, for your young girls. They don't have to make the mistakes that you made. Send them to Peggy and let the word of God go inside of them. Amen. We have so many other groups here. I won't have the time to go through them all, but at the end of service today, you can sign up in the lobby. Amen. The third group is family. Somebody say family. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This was the group that was connected to them. These were the prerequisites, and these were the things, the attributes that they walked in. Number one, they continued steadfastly. They were committed. Impact Church, it's time to get committed. It's time to get to the next level. Look at this place here. We've been here for about a year and 4 months. We've seen over 400 people give their lives to Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're averaging 300 people in a service. Let me tell you this. Only 4% of churches in America have over 500 people. An average church in America has 80 members. And right now, here in Boston, you're in the seventh most unchurched city in the entire country. Burlington, Vermont is the second most unchurched city, and then Providence, Rhode Island, and then Portland, Maine, and then Hartford, Connecticut, and then San Francisco, and then it's Boston, number 7. 8 out of 10 people didn't go to church this morning. We're in the most unchurched, we're in the seventh most unchurched city. We need people to be saved. Somebody say amen. So it's time to be committed. We're committed to the gospel. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. If you've just been visiting and just checking things out, we want you to be committed because there's a work that God is setting for us to do. Amen. It's going to take commitment. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is that? That's vision. The way to stand for a vision is to serve the vision. If you've been coming to this church for a long time, I want to ask you to begin to serve. Hallelujah. Listen, I sense there are people in this room, God has already been tugging on your heart. God's been tugging on your heart. Matter of fact, you've been waiting for this invitation right here. You've said in your heart, if the pastor would only give the invitation, I'll jump. Well, here's the invitation. This is the time. This is the day. This is the season to transition from just being a visitor or a friend and become a committed member of this family. You know God has been speaking to you in your hearts of, in your heart of hearts. There's a witness in here. Even right now, you sense that God has been calling you. Well, this is the time. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, this is your time. One more time, this is your time. Thank you, Jesus. I'm speaking African to you guys. I literally just spoke my mother tongue to you guys in a second. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The third thing, the Bible says, they continued in fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Fellowship is promoting unity in the body of Christ. I'll tell you this. Most of the people that are hurt, they grew up and they've been hurt in churches. It's because of a cancer that plagues the house of God called gossip and slander. Besides being a pastor, I am a young apostolic voice. God has raised me, which simply means God has raised me to bring new trends into the kingdom of God, to break new grounds and to do things that are new that have never happened before. We've already seen God does do that in other arena of life, other arenas of life. And one of the things that God has raised me to do in Boston is to raise a church that's healthy, free from all the slander and the gossip. Fellowship, that's what they did. They promoted unity, which simply means they were committed to building the unity of the house. Instead of complaining down, they complained up. Let me teach you something here. Complaining up is complaining to people who have the power to change and address the situation. Complaining down is just doing that because you're frustrated. It won't fix anything, and all you do is you plague other people. And as a cancer, you just pretty much take the frustration that's in you and you put it in somebody else. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm not taking that. That's what we're going to do here. We're going to promote unity. If somebody has an issue with you, if somebody has hurt you, and somebody comes to complain to you, tell them, hey, let's go together to Brother Gary. Let's go together to Brother Jerry. Let's address him. Let's love on him so we can release a spirit of love and unity. Somebody say amen and amen. Breaking of bread. Somebody say breaking of bread. Contributors, they became responsible. For those of you that have become family in this house, become responsible to give in this house. Every mature person knows it takes finances to run an operation like this with excellence. Amen. We serve you. I mean, the food that we give here is absolutely free. I know places where they'll sell you a rice plate for $10, $15. Everything we do here, we give absolutely free because we want people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. When we do our Next Steps classes, every single day we feed people here. All the equipment you see here, world-class material. Why? Because there are people who are committed to giving in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to speak to you as a pastor. If you've been coming to this house, if you've been blessed, if God has been blessing you and your children, if you've not been a faithful tither, if you've not been a regular giver, this is time to start doing that. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. I'm not ashamed to say that because your giving simply means we can do more. We can do a greater work. This church has been carried by a small group of people. What if everybody in this room began to faithfully tithe and give? We could do a greater work in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Then lastly, prayer. Would you pray for these cities and these communities? Would you pray for the leadership of this house? I'm not ashamed to ask for your prayers. Would you pray for Michelle and I? Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Today is one of those days. I'm just going to be honest and be family. Man, I've been sick for the last 2 days. I came to church late. I've been sleeping. And thank you, Jesus. Help me, God. But I'm here to serve you. Amen. It's an off day on the job here. But thank you, God, for this team. I mean, this team came here early and they put everything together. They serve. They make it happen. Would you pray for us? The devil wants to kick the pastors. 2,100 pastors quit the church. They quit the ministry every week in America. That's not going to happen at Impact Church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you celebrate us? Would you encourage us? Hallelujah. Would you speak words of life to us? Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be ashamed because I need you so I can serve you better. Hallelujah. And thank you for those of you that send texts and messages and cards because you don't know what we go through. You don't know what we go through, but we appreciate you. Somebody say amen. Now, Impact Church, as we finish, this is where we're going to end. I want us to read together Acts chapter 2, verse 43. After they did all those things, I want you to see what happened with this community because of their faithfulness, because of their steadfastness, because of their unity. God did some things in their lives. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then fear came upon every soul. Stop right there. Fear came. This fear does not mean that people were terrified and scared, and it simply means there was so much reverence that came. They honored them. There was so much great reputation that the people had for this community because of their unity, because of their togetherness. And it says many signs and wonders began to happen. I'll tell you this, where there's unity, miracles begin to flow. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 133, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing oil flowing from the beard of Aaron the priest and overflowing to the skirts. It says, there the Lord commands a blessing. You want to see miracles? You want to see the power of God? Come together in unity. Be willing to go and leave personal interests to promote the vision. And you see the power of God. Let's continue reading the next scripture. Stop right there. As everyone had need, every need was met because people were committed. They began to give. Every need was met. Homeless people were fed. Widows were taken care of. Those finances, they built buildings. All needs were met because of their unity. Next scripture. 1, 2, 3, go. So continuing daily. Next scripture. Praising God and having favor. Stop right there. Praising God and having favor. Somebody shout favor. As we begin to do this Impact Church, there's going to be favor that's going to come. Everybody who's connected to this house are going to begin to walk in favor, promotions in their jobs, miracle upon miracle, blessings, finances. Everybody's going to experience the favor of God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Having favor with all people. Let's read the next part here. And the Lord added to them daily those who are being saved. Impact, we're going to see growth. Hallelujah. People are going to be added to this church body because there's going to be a reverence. There's going to be a fear, a holy fear, and every need will be met. And we're going to see many people being added to this church. Somebody shout hallelujah. As I finish here, Impact Church, I want to give you the structure of our church. Number one, Impact Church is guided by pastors. Impact Church is guided by pastors. At the moment, my wife and I, she's my pastor. Oh, no. It's the other way around. But my wife and I are the senior pastors of this house. We're the only pastors and elders, but we've been praying. Took time to fast in this fasting that we did. We've been fasting, we've been praying. And this year, Impact Church, we are ordaining pastors and elders and deacons in this house. Come on, let's put our hands together. Who will help us to lead in this house. And we've done that prayerfully. Impact Church is protected by trustees. Somebody say trustees. Impact, we have a board of trustees that oversee our finances. I want you to know that after church, my wife and I don't take your money and go into our closet somewhere in our bedroom and start counting your money. Amen, somebody. We have a process here, and we have a team of financial trustees that oversee your finances. My wife and I never have contact with finances. There's two people who count the money here, and the money is taken straight to the bank on Sunday and banked. And these financial trustees approve our budget, and everything that happens in this house goes by them. I would never recommend my salary. I would never recommend my wife's salary because this group is the one that does that. Somebody say amen. Because we honor your finances and your giving. Somebody say hallelujah. Then Impact Church is protected by overseers. Sorry, is strengthened by overseers. Somebody say overseers. Impact, we have 5 senior pastors of other churches that have been in ministry for over 30 years and 40 years. Who oversee what my wife and I do. Amen. It's dangerous for pastors to be the final authority. How many people know that it's dangerous for any organization to have a final authority who are not submitted to anybody else? Everybody needs to be submitted to somebody. Most of us who've been hurt in churches is because we went to churches where the pastor was the senior word and nobody else could challenge their voice. We are submitted, Impact, to 5 other senior leaders and we speak to them. They speak to our lives. Our marriage is strong because my wife has other people she can call on when I don't behave. And I do the same. There are mothers I can call on and say, Michelle is not cooking for me. We have people who we can do that with. And I'm telling the truth, and we do it. They check on our marriage. Impact Church, these 5 leaders check on the doctrine that I teach you. I come from a world where we believe that everybody who opens their mouth to teach has to be under subjection. It's dangerous for somebody who teaches to not have somebody who can correct their doctrine. That's how heresy has come into the world. That's how people have been made to drink all kinds of Kool-Aids and all kinds of crazy stuff. Taken to Georgetown, all kinds of sick stuff. If I ever tell you drink Kool-Aid, please run out of here. But I have people who can correct me. Somebody say amen. You can't bring an electrician into your house who has not been licensed and certified. You can't have a lawyer represent you who's not been commissioned. It's the same in the kingdom of God. The reason educated people don't trust the church is because we have people who are not commissioned and certified who open their mouths and begin to speak. In this house, we believe in apostolic governance. So I'm under authority. They check my doctrine. My bishop checks my door. I send my notes. I submit them so that what we're teaching to you is in line with the word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please close your eyes if you can. Father, we thank you and we worship you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for what you're doing here at our church. We celebrate you, Jesus. We give you praise. We honor you. Thank you for the work that you've given us to do in this place. We're expecting miracles. We're expecting lives to come in this place and to go home saved and changed and delivered. Father, we thank you for the gifts and talents that you're sending in this house. We celebrate you, Father, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and amen. While you're seated right there, Impact Church, there's 5 things I want you to pray for. Number one, I want you to pray about joining the family today. Like I said, I know there are people in this room. God's already been speaking to you. This is time to make the jump. This is a time to be committed. We need your help. This is the time. Somebody say amen. Number two, I want you to pray about committing to the vision of Impact Church. As leaders, God has given my wife and I a heart. Come to our Next Steps classes. Come and sense the heartbeat that God has given us for this nation. Hallelujah. I tell you, God is about to do some great things in this place. Make no mistake, we're about to turn this world upside down for Jesus. Somebody say amen. I'd like for you to pray about joining an I-team. I'd love for you to pray about joining an I-team. Begin to serve. We need more people serving. I'd like for you to join a small group or start one. Start one. Consider starting one so we can help people transition into this church. I'd like to have you pray about becoming a faithful tither of this house so we can do the work of God well. Somebody say amen. Quickly, Impact, where are we going? Where are we going? I'm glad you asked. Well, Impact Church, on Easter Sunday, we're going to 2 services. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. When a room is 80% filled, that's too much. It's too filled. You don't want people to feel crowded. There's been Sundays we've had to put chairs over there. So on Easter Sunday, invite your mothers, invite your daddies, invite the cats and the dogs. Let them come to Impact Church. Amen. We're going to create room for 2 services. And then we're going to see what's happening in the summer. If we need to downsize to 1 service just for the summer, fine. But come forward. But we're going to step out in faith here and go to 2 services. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, Impact Church, we're going live stream. Somebody say hallelujah. We're going live stream. We believe that what God is doing in this place, the worship that's happening in this house, we can't just contain it in this little room. And so we're going to reach the world through live stream. Somebody shout hallelujah. But as you're shouting, remember, you're going to have to give towards this. Hallelujah. Just a little disclaimer right there, real quickly. Impact, we're going to impact our community this summer. Somebody shout hallelujah. We're not just going to contain ourselves in this little place. This summer, we're going to buy as many backpacks as possible. We're going to bless the students of the Medford district, public school districts, and we're going to bless them. Somebody say amen. Thanksgiving, we're going to give out as many turkeys as possible. Turkeys are going to be dying everywhere because we're going to be giving out turkeys and blessing as many families as possible. There's going to be a sacrifice of turkeys. We're going to give as many turkeys as possible in fixings and help the community. We're not just going to be that church that meets at the school. We're getting out of here and we're blessing people. This is what the church was meant to do. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, Impact Church, this worship team here, I've spoken to them. I've been sharing vision with them. They're going to be committed to recording a sound of worship that's going to get out of this room and it's going to go to the ends of the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. Next Sunday, they are launching and releasing a new song, a brand new song. If you see a new song, if you see an Impact song, I want you to sing from the top of your lungs and just sing it out. We're going to release the sound of worship from this house to the ends of the world. Amen. Then lastly, Impact. In order to steward the work that God has given us here, we need a lot of work, a lot of help, a lot of support. We're going to be hiring people part-time to help because we need some people who are just really going to focus on serving here. We're averaging over 300 people. It's going to take people to steward the growth and to steward the work. Hallelujah. It's going to take people. It's a lot of people. And I want to announce to you that, you know, we have our first part-time employee at Impact Church. We've employed Janelle, who stays in that lobby, as the first part-time employee here at Impact Church. Hallelujah. And then also Impact, I'm glad to announce that you just employed your pastor at Impact Church. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm officially employed by you guys, so thank you for employing me. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me take a picture of those who didn't stand real quick. Oh, no, that's a joke. But thank you. Thank you for your honoring. Thank you for standing. Thank you. Hallelujah. My wife and I made some wise financial decisions, people of God. We raised money from other churches. And we saved up. And for the last 2 years, we've been full-time doing this and not having to draw all kinds of money and choke this church because God has been providing for us. And we've had more and more people just supplying and helping and just all kinds of stuff that have been happening. We give God the glory. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. We give Jesus praise and honor. Right here, while everybody is sitting in their seat, I know you sense the presence of God. Yet again, there's people that God is speaking to. If you're in this house and you're saying, Pastor, I want to be committed, this is the day. The ushers handed out a worship guide. And inside of that worship guide, there was an iConnect card. It doesn't matter if you filled this card before. I'm going to give you a little moment to fill that card again. And in the back, say, I want to serve. All right, I want to join the family. I want to do something. I want to do something. I want to help. I want to roll up my sleeves and do something. This is the Sunday to do that. Thank you, Jesus. And listen, if you're not ready to serve, just sit tight. This is no pressure here. We're not a legalistic culture. We're a culture of grace. Amen. Keep coming. Keep visiting. Invite friends. But I know there's somebody in here today that said, Pastor, I've been waiting for this invitation. I should have made this decision a long time ago, but thank you. I need the help to cross over now. I need to serve. I need to be involved. This is your day today. Amen. Before you leave today, there's going to be other connect cards in the Welcome Center. Just stop by. Write something. Let's join hands together. It's time. It's time.